Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Some years ago, I was asked to counsel with a lady in her mid-30s. Her friend was a Christian, and her Christian friend was with this lady, Christine by name, and we started talking about, and I sort of wanted to get some background about Christine's life, and found a whole chain of broken relationships. Like, she wanted to be married, but there was broken relationships with guys. It never lasted more than 6 months. And somewhere along the line, I asked the question, just to try and find out a little bit more of the background, who was the first person you felt loved you? And she thought for a while, and then all of a sudden a face sparked up, brightened up, and she said, "My horse." And I went, "Oh my." And then I said to her, "So tell me about your horse." And she did. Said, "Now, has there been anybody since then?" And she said, "No one." Can you imagine what life's like that for that? Here's a young man by the name of Jamie. He's 20 years of age. I used to see him at least once a week. I'd have a meal with him. I used to visit a accommodation centre for street kids. Jamie had been away from home for about 2.5 years, and one of our team had picked him up off the streets when he was sleeping out in winter. And he'd come to this accommodation. I used to have, as I said, evening meal with the whole team of kids and staff in this centre. And then I would do something like we'd either play some games, do an activity, or ask some questions and get to know one another. And Jamie was a bright spark. He was a good, you know, you just liked the guy. He was a bit cheeky. He was fun to be around. For example, one day I was walking downtown Wollongong, and I had a lunchbox with me, and I was enjoying my lunch as I was just walking down the street, and I saw Jamie on the other side of the street. He saw me at the same time and quickly ran across the street. And so we're standing there talking. I find out what he's doing downtown and find out that he's just been to the dentist and, you know, what's he got for the rest of the day? And all the time we were talking, without any change, all he did was look at my lunch. I mean, he just kept staring at it. And I got the message eventually and I said, "Jamie, have you had lunch yet?" He says, "Man, I haven't eaten today." So I said, "Well, let's share my lunch." Well, he just took my lunch and he ate it within about, you know, 2 minutes. It was gone. That was the sort of guy. One day I found out that he liked fishing. And I thought, okay, we'll go fishing. When I made arrangements, he was absolutely over the moon. Hadn't been fishing for a long while. Went fishing and, you know, Jamie was the sort of guy that never stopped talking. Just talk, 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 talk. Chatterbox. He talked and we fished. He caught fish and I didn't. And I wasn't very impressed about that at all. Eventually we got into the car and ready to come back. And Jamie started fishing around in the console, you know, in the middle of the car. And he pulled out a CD. He says, "Can I play this?" I said, "Sure." I knew it was a Christian CD. And the second track in was about the story that Jesus told about two prodigal sons. Most Christians know it was one prodigal, the prodigal son. They're both prodigals. And it just told the story very, very simply. And for the first time, Jamie was silent. He never said boo. And I looked over and I saw that there were tears. So I pulled the car over and I sort of turned in the seat and I said, what's happening, mate? And he started to tell me. He'd been into drugs. He'd been into stealing stuff from mum and dad, stealing money, stealing goods and hocking them and using the money for drugs. Been quite abusive and making life difficult for mum and dad. They'd come to a stage where mum said, I never, ever want to see your ugly face again. And Dad said to him, I hate your guts. I was able to talk to him. He said, when this track was playing about the prodigal son, he said, what's that all about? And I said to him, it's about God as a father who loved the son who did rotten stuff, really, really bad stuff in their culture and society. But that father loved the son. He said, I don't know about that. I don't know what you're talking about. And so I was able to unpack and unravel that story some more. And a few days later, he became a Christian and his life started to turn around. That was good. And he was a different guy to look at because he started to live knowing that God loved him and God's love don't change. You know, I've met people today who've talked about broken relationships and partners in life whose love has changed for them. But God's love doesn't. So I want us to pick up this parable that Jesus told, and I'm going to read it from a modern translation or version, and from Luke chapter 15. Now, if you've got time, really great thing to do is to read the whole of this chapter. I'm just going to read you a part of it, okay? So here we've got, from verse 11, Jesus said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me, in other words, my inheritance. So the father divided the property between them, and it wasn't long before the younger son packed up his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. And after he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig's slop, but no one would even give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working on my father's sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. And he got up, right up, and he went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Get the grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead, but now he is alive. Given up for lost, and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. But all this time, the older son, the older brother of this young man, he was out in the field. And when the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the home, he heard the music and dancing. Calling one of the house boys, he said, what's going on? He said, your brother has come home. Your father has ordered a feast, barbecued beef, because he has him home safe and sound. And the older brother stalked off in anger, sulking, and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, look, how many years I've stayed here serving you? Never giving you one moment of grief. You have you ever thrown a party for me and for my friends? And then this rat bag of a son of yours, this son of yours, who has thrown away everything of your money on whores, shows up and you go all out with a feast. His father said to him, "You don't understand. You've been with me all the time. And everything that I have, everything of mine, is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He's lost, but now he's found." Now, what that is happening here in Luke chapter 15 is Jesus is giving a picture of what God is like. Right? He's really saying to these people, and there were those who, the Bible says in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, they were sinners, and they were working for the enemy. They were tax collectors working for the Romans. And then there were the Pharisees and those who understood the law of God and taught it. And they're saying, these guys here, we don't like that Jesus hangs with these people. And Jesus tells three stories. Firstly, about a lost sheep, 100 of them, but only one was lost. And it says the shepherd went out chasing after one. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got 99 out of 100 in maths and only missed out on one mark, I wouldn't worry, right? I wouldn't bother about why didn't I get the 1% right. One really wouldn't matter, but to the shepherd it did. One sheep out of 100. Then there's a lady with 10 coins and she's lost one of them. And she does everything. She turns on the light, she sweeps through the place, she finds and searches and finds that one lost coin that was out of circulation. And then he talks about two sons, and both of them are lost to the father. One's in the far country as a rat bag. I mean, seriously, he's wasted inheritance. He's come to his father and said, "Look, you're hanging around too long. I can't wait for you to die. I want my money now." How insulting is that? So he goes off and he wastes the money. And the older brother, he's the goody two-shoes. He does the right thing and stays back on the farm, and he doesn't give his dad any trouble. Well, not outwardly anyway. So what's going on here? I need to give you the example here. When the younger son did what he did, cleared out with the money, wasted it, and evidently the family knew about it, there was a ceremony that took place back in the family. Father would get everybody, family, friends, workers on the farm together, and he'd pull them all together and say, "Remember young Joey? You know the one that took off into the far country? Don't ever talk to me again about him." He said, took a clay pot, raised it above his head, smash it to the ground, and said, "He no longer exists. Does not exist. He's dead to me." Okay? And all the family would know about it, and the people around would know that. So Jesus is telling a story about a prodigal son who goes into the far country, and this is what would happen in the family circles in that day and age. And as they go, "Yeah, right, right. Who'd want to know him? He's a rat bag. He's scum. He shouldn't have done that. That's the worst insult that you could do to your parents." And then Jesus goes on with the story and he says, but the son he wakes up. He said, "Hang on, servants back home are better off, I'll go home." And so he comes back home. And the people of the day were going, "Ah, no. No way, Jose, that doesn't happen. You got to be joking. That does not happen." You get it? Right? And Jesus says, "That's what my heavenly Father is like." In other words, God the Father loves you in spite of the stupid things that you've done, or the sad things that you've done, or that you've been in the far country away and out of relationship with the Father. So I want you to notice a couple of things firstly about the Father in this instance. Firstly, the father grieves over the prodigal. And God, our Heavenly Father, grieves over every prodigal one of us. When we've failed, when we've been in places that we should not have been, when we do things that have not been best. And friends, remember this, God's heart grieves when we're away from home, when we're away from Him. We don't have connection or relationship with Him. Now, every parent knows what it's like. If you're a parent and you have kids, you know, we try and advise, we try and encourage, we try and teach certain things, and the children will say something, do something, make decisions, and you go, no, no, no. Even if you don't say it to them, you're saying it to yourself. And you're hurting because you know the consequences of when a child does something. An adult child does something. I can talk to you about experiences I've had with my family this year like that. And it's like my heart aches because of what's happening with some of my kids. And God's heart aches for us when we're not close, when we're not in that relationship and connection with Him. Now, here's a professor from Wollongong University. His son got in with the wrong crowd, started taking drugs, and became engaged in some other activities that were not healthy, and Dad tried to help him. And eventually, after about a couple of months of this, the father, the professor, took time off his work to take his son each day to a drug rehab centre and some other counselling, but they had to go in a train. Well, the father started doing it because the second time that the son was on the train going to this day rehab centre, he was attacked and bashed up. So the next day, the father went with him and he got attacked and bashed up. And here's the professor sitting in front of me in my office with cuts and bruises all over, especially his face, but he talked about other parts of where he'd been hurt, especially broken ribs. And he said, what do I do? What do I do for my son? You see, that's a father caring, loving for his son. It's still the same today, isn't it? Humanly speaking. Do you know, my dad, when he was 65 years of age, I reckon this is a bit of a joke, Dad was 65. You know what happened? His mother, Nana, as we called her, she was 90. And they were together at our home, and she was giving him a ticking off. She was really telling my dad off. And I'm sitting there in the corner just laughing at my dad's 65. and his mum is going for him. And at the end of it, when grandma had stopped, Nana had stopped, Dad turned to me and says, all right for you to laugh, but just remember, I'm still her son. And friends, this parable is telling us that God the Father hurts when we're in a place that's not best. Now, the second thing I want you to notice here, as you look at this whole account, is that God receives us exactly as we are. Remember Jesus saying in the story, hey, here's this prodigal son, he's come home. The father didn't say, go and have a bath, because he'd been in the pig pen. He didn't say, go home, change your clothes, and come back and prove that you're serious about being part of the family again. He didn't say to him, you have got to make sure that you're going to do everything that we tell you to do from here on in. that father received the son who had done the worst thing possible as he was. And when we come to God, Jesus is saying that's exactly how God sees us. That's exactly what he wants to do for each one of us. And then he treats us as though we'd never been away. I mean, that's amazing. Read this story. Look, I wish I had more time, seriously. But my wife is saying to me, my time is gone. Right? Let me tell you what took place years ago. In my very first church ministry, when I graduated from Bible College, which was down in Victoria, and we had a whole bunch. We used to have every quarter a university service. And there were about 250 university students, most of them who didn't know Jesus. And I preached my heart out one night, probably a bit long like tonight. And one of the students said to a Christian friend, "Geez, long-winded, isn't he?" And my friend said, "He's long, but he's never winded." Well, that's true. But I'll try and shorten it up at this point. Okay. He treats us as though we had never been away. What happens? The father says, "Put a robe on him." So what? That's the sign of honour and respect. That's like wearing medals. Then he says, "Give him a ring." Ah, that was the equivalent of the credit card. It's like, this guy is from the family, and because he's got the ring and he can press that ring on documents and do things, he could do anything and buy anything. Then he says, "Put shoes on his feet." That means he's not a servant. Right? It's like, treat him as though he's never been away. Here is a son who's been in the far country, messing up, wasting money, being a fool, but treat him like he's still a son. And that's how God treats you and me when we come to him. But there's one other little trick in this whole thing. There's the older brother. And the older brother said, "What? You're letting that scumbag back in?" And Dad comes out and he says, "What?" He's actually very disrespectful in the way in which he speaks to his father. And he says, "What do you think you're doing? That rat bag is back home and you welcome him. He's a waster." That's it. He was dead, but now he's alive again to us. Do you know what he was saying? He's back in relationship with the family. And the sad part of it was, the old goody two-shoes, this older brother, who has been doing the right thing outwardly, in his heart was saying, "Huh? No! I'm not going to be part of that. He shouldn't be back in the family. None of his business." And his heart was hardened and he made it difficult. And it says he refused to go in. Do you know what that means? He refused to go into the party and be related or connected or part of what was happening. His hard heart, he's saying, "I'm the good guy here," but in his heart, nah. And friends, we need to be careful. If we hold on to resentment and hurt, if we hold on to things that in our thinking are wrong, it hardens our heart and we isolate ourselves from the very thing that we need. We prevent being connected to people around about us or to God. Now, I could spend a lot of time talking about that because of my counselling background. But when we hold on to things of the past, when there are things that are hurt, that hurts for us, when we don't deal them and bring them firstly to our Heavenly Father and resolve them, we can't move on. Do you know that? We're locked in at that point. We can't go beyond the hurt that's blocking what's taking place. So tonight I want to finish by asking you a question. Are there things like the older brother? Look, it's easy to be involved in Christian things, to be involved in the life of the church, and outwardly you're going through stuff and you're doing it, that's great, but inwardly it's like, man, I can't stand that person. I hate their guts for what they've done to me. And we are separating ourselves from God and His love and His forgiveness and His care. So, here's the older brother. He's the Mr. Goody. And he misses out on the party. Here's the young brother. The rat bag. I mean the cheek of it, what he did. But he's back in the family. And he's loved and cared for. And Jesus says, this is a picture of my Heavenly Father. Firstly, on this Father's Day night, do you know the love of the Father? A perfect Father? Maybe there have been hurts in relation to Dad for you. And then for my friends, I want to say, bring them to Jesus. Bring them to God. Don't let Him bring healing. And then Him be the perfect Father for you. Because you know what happens? Lost sheep, lost coin, when they're found, there's celebration. There's a party in heaven over a lost sinner who has come back to the Father to usefulness. That's what God wants to do for you and for me. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the patience of these people. Thank you even more for the wonderful message that you want us to be part of those who are connected, valued, loved, cared for by a loving Heavenly Father. That we might experience your promises when the Scripture says you will not abandon us or desert us, but that you'll always be with us. That we might receive the forgiveness for the things that have been out of place. That we might be forgiven and set free from that. And from our attitudes sometimes when we hold on to hurts and resentments about things that people have done to us and that are so hard to cope with, that you come and that you give us a fresh start. And your friendship, that you're there with us at all times. Thank you that you do that for us. And help us to come to you as a good, good Heavenly Father tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.